Good evening, brethren. All right, before we start, if you will, please join me in prayer. We need the Lord's help to ensure that his message is delivered properly. So if you can, please bow your heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. We thank you for bringing us together, Lord, in your house, Lord, to hear a message, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you guide me as I deliver this message, Lord. And may I not veer from your word, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you please help all those that are not able to be with us, those that are away. We pray for Pastor once again and Mrs. Sinsky who are away. We just ask for their safe return, Lord. We pray for Debbie also who's not able to be here, for Giselle, for Bill and Marosha, for all other members that I did not mention, Lord. We just ask that you constantly be with them, Lord, protect them, guide them, Lord, and may they always seek you where they're at, Lord, and may they also take the opportunities to share the gospel wherever they're at, Lord, to draw people to you. Thank you once again, dear Heavenly Father, and we just ask, Lord, that you bless all the people that are here, all the people that are having ailments, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, all the families that are experiencing loss. We ask that you be with them, Lord, comfort them, and give them peace, Lord. All this we humbly ask, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You never realize how much sin and hatred are in this world until you become a Christian. Suddenly the Lord opens your eyes and makes you realize how sinful and flawed in ourselves we really are. Because of God's love, because God loves us, us in Christ, he forgives us. Therefore, we are empowered to forgive others. Because God loves us in Christ, he is patient with us. Therefore, we are empowered to be patient with others. Because God loves us in Christ, he is good and kind to us. Therefore, we are empowered to be good and kind to others also. Being an imitator of God means we must imitate his love. After all, the Bible tells us God is love, as stated in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. His very nature is defined by his love. Everything he does out of love. As children of God, we are to imitate and walk in that love. We should do it for our own sakes. If we desire to be spiritually healthy, if we want to escape the sickness of sin and joy, and enjoy the vigor of growing grace, Jesus must be our model. Please open up your books to John chapter 15, verses 7 to 13. John chapter 15, verses 7 to 13. And it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In order to emulate the love of our Heavenly Father, we first must know what God's love is. So I will be focusing on 4 points on what God's love is. God's love is one. It's tough love. God's love is two. Tender love. God's love is number three, trustworthy love. And four, God's love is triumphant love. Point number one, God's love is tough love. Tough love is an expression that is generally thought of as a disciplinary measure where someone is treated rather sternly with the intention of helping him or her in the long run. Tough love may be the refusal to give assistance to a friend, asking for help when to do so would simply allow him to continue along a dangerous path. However, with tough love, in a biblical sense, the chastening hand is always controlled by a loving heart. As the wise King Solomon said, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 13:24. To fully understand the importance of why tough love is sometimes necessary, we need to understand the magnitude of the spiritual fight that is a significant part of the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 states, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Satan and his host of demons will make every attempt to knock us off the path of our spiritual journey, continually tempting Christians to give in to their sinful nature. As Christ told us, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will be on it," as stated in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." A strong dose of tough love may be the most appropriate recourse to help one get off the road of destruction, especially if he's been on there for a while. The Bible has much to say about tough love, particularly in Proverbs and in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 states, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Unfortunately, however, many parents in particular often equivocate when it comes to meting out tough love. Granted, firm disciplinary measures can be as unpleasant to the parent as they are to the child. That's why it takes wisdom and courage. However, when we continually shield loved ones from the consequences of their errors, we often deprive them of the opportunity for the growth and maturity that could possibly eradicate their problematic behavior altogether. Additionally, we eliminate any incentive someone might have for change when we hesitate to save them from themselves. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 states, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Discipline does not seem pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The Lord disciplines his children because he loves them and wants the best for them. He is looking out for their good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 states, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We can emulate God's love by displaying tough love also. We should discipline our children with firmness, love, and work courageously for the good of others. The Bible teaches corporal punishment, whether the modern experts agree or not. To withhold punishment from a child when it is deserved is to encourage that child in sin and thus to contribute to his eventual ruin. The parent who spares the rod might think he is manifesting love. But God says it is hatred, as stated in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Sometimes love must be tough. This brings us to point number two. God's love is tender love. Psalm 69, verse 16 states, "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." God's love is not only tough, but it is also tender. He cares, understands, and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God tells us he is our refuge and strength and our help in time of trouble. He is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not have to be afraid because he promises to be with us, as stated in chapter 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God's love, mercy, and grace are extended to all people in all places, at all times. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 states, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Romans chapter 8, verse 32 states, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God's grace is available for everyone who accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior. Through Christ's redemption of our sinful humanity, God's grace abounds and is overflowing. We must also emulate God's tender love by heeding his words. There are times when the Lord will speak to us via the Holy Spirit and through the scriptures to pay attention, to listen, and believe that which he has spoken to us in our heart, mind, and spirit. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5 states, "But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." God's word is inspired, breathed out by God, it is useful for instruction and reproof. If you do not heed instruction from God's word, not only will you be led astray, but you will lead others on a path to death. We must not only emulate God's tender love by heeding his words, we must also emulate it towards others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." In fact, because God loves us so much, he sent his one and only Son to die for our sins so that we can have eternal life with him. It is important to understand that if God had not forgiven us, we could never be saved. Therefore, we ought to forgive others as he has forgiven us. This brings us to the third point. God's love is trustworthy love. He keeps his promises. The promises of God are sure. They are surer than anything else in this world. You can count on his word. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true. God is trustworthy because he is true. And that means anything he says is also true and can be trusted. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. There are times in our life when faith is our choice. We can wallow in our unbelief and fuss that things will never change. Or we can believe that if God has promised, he is faithful. It doesn't mean that everything we pray for and want will come out the way we want or expect. faith walks hand in hand with trust in God and His wisdom and love for us. Sometimes faith is not an easy lesson because it requires trust. It means that when we can't see what is coming, we trust that He does and He will guide us. It seems that when the ground we are on seems shaky, we know He is there and will lift us up. It means taking one step at a time and trusting Him to not allow us to fall because we are walking with Him. It means being willing to do oftentimes what no one else is willing to do. Faith is putting all your hope and trust in God's character, not in what you see and not in what you want, but totally in Him. It's not easy, but it is what He is asking us to do, and it is required if you want to continue to your walk with Him. Psalm chapter 145, verse 13 states, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations," declares the Lord. Declares that the Lord is trustworthy and faithful in His promises and doings, respectively. His trustworthiness in keeping His promises has been consistently demonstrated and tested since the beginning. Today's society is sadly lacking when it comes to trustworthy love. It is evident by the continual rise in divorce rates. That is not part of God's design. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6 states, "Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God established marriage to be a blessing, but often our human failings make it into an unbearable burden. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 states, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." This brings us to my last point. God's love is triumphant love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Here the Apostle Paul takes up his permanence of love as contrasted with a temporary character of gifts. Love never fails. Throughout eternity, love will go on in a sense that we will still love the Lord and love one another. These gifts, on the other hand, are of temporary duration. People, possessions, pleasures, and popularity fail, but God's triumphant love never fails. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 states, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." William MacDonald, in his Believer's Bible Commentary, makes these comments about these verses. The Apostle Paul has not finished his search. He ransacks the universe for something that might conceivably separate us from God's love, then dismisses the possibilities one by one. Death with all its terrors, life with all its allurements, angels nor principalities, supernatural in power and knowledge, powers, whether human tyrants or angelic adversaries, things present crashing in upon us, things to come, arousing fearful forebodings. Height nor depth, those things that are in the realm of dimension or space, including occult forces. Then, to make sure he is not missing anything, Paul adds, nor any other created thing. The outcome of Paul's search is that he can find nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder these words of triumph have been the song of those who have died a martyr's death and the rhapsody of those who lived a martyr's life. Before we can emulate God's triumphant love, we need to possess his love. We must totally commit ourselves to God to be filled with his love. We must receive his love by faith before we have the power to love him, each other, our families, neighbors, and enemies. The only reason we love at all is because he first loved us, as stated in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. The Ten Commandments require that a man should love his God and neighbor. But the law could not produce this love. How then could God obtain this love which his righteousness required? He solved the problem by sending his Son to die for us. Such wonderful love draws out our hearts to him in return. We say, "You have bled and died for me. From now on, I will live for you." In conclusion, in order to emulate the love of our Heavenly Father, you must know what God's love is. God's love is tough love. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God's love is tender love. He cares, understands, and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is our refuge and strength and help, and our help in time of trouble. God's love is trustworthy love. He keeps his promises, and his promises are sure. They are surer than anything else in this world, and you can count on his word. As David says in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." God's love is triumphant love. It is triumphant because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And in verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." His love brings victory now and eternally. I will close with the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for being in your house tonight. We thank you for always watching over us, Lord, and for guiding us. And we just ask that you continue to guide us on the straight and narrow path, Lord. May we go forth now at this point, Lord, and take heed of your words, Lord, and to live your words and to pass it on, Lord. Be with us as we go forward. Keep us safe and bring us back all on the Lord's day, Lord, that we may continue to love and to serve you, Lord, and to praise you as a spiritual family. All this we humbly ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.